Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on this Monday, the 27th of September, 2021. The NFL, what a wacky week it was. We're going to get into it today here on the show. Looking forward to 2 hours of fantasy discussion. Craig Mish, Davis Matic with you here on the show. Davis, hope you had a good weekend. Ready to jump into it today.
I did. I had a great weekend. You know, we get a great Monday night football game. I'm extremely excited about Cowboys-Eagles tonight. But yeah, it was a pretty good fantasy weekend. It was a pretty good gambling weekend. The early games on Sunday were really bad. Not a lot of touchdowns, lots of injuries, lots of interceptions and sacks taken by the quarterbacks in the early game on Sunday. But it was good overall.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of close games, though, coming right down to the wire. That witching hour was really fun. I had a blast. I watched a lot of yesterday. I even watched the Sunday night game, which is rare for me, too. But fantasy implications were keeping me up very late on Sunday night, hoping to get a little bit extra from Deebo Samuel. I think I got just enough in one of my leagues that'll put me in tonight, as long as CeeDee Lamb and Zuerlein, the kicker, Greg Zuerlein, as long as those guys combined get me 11 fantasy points, I will be 3-0 in one of my leagues. Other league lost three players to injury last week. How do you win a league not having McCaffrey, not having Daryl Henderson, not having T. Higgins? I mean, three starters in 1 week. It was just too much to overcome. And in the Phillies league, we're going to lose, fall to 2-1. Okay, let's get to our headlines here on the show. Aaron Rodgers, I suppose we should probably start with him. Leads a game-winning drive on Sunday Night Football. They left 37 seconds on the clock. Rodgers ends up delivering a huge win over San Francisco, and he looked really into it, too. How about the Rams? Are they the best team in the NFL? A case can be made. They throttle Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, 34-24. They improve to 3-0. Justin Tucker kicks a 66-yard field goal. As time expires, it hit the bottom of the crossbar, and it goes in, and the Ravens win 19-17 at Detroit. Lions, by the way, I got to give them some credit. They're playing great this year. Really into it every game. The U.S. wins the Ryder Cup, so no surprise there for Davis, that is for sure. And then the St. Louis Cardinals, I mean, we got to keep talking about this. They've won 16 games in a row. They've won more games during this streak than eight other teams in Major League Baseball have won in a single month this season. They're just on fire. They're going to make the postseason. This is the final week of the Major League Baseball regular season as well. And Davis, certainly there were a lot of other things yesterday that caught my eye. You know, Peyton Barber, who is clearly, I mean, going to be picked up in every league if he's not already. He's probably the hot waiver. I mean, I cannot believe I'm saying it, but he's probably the hot waiver wire pickup this week, unless Jacobs is back. And I thought Josh Allen looked much better against Washington. And so maybe that early season demise is turning the other way.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, the Peyton Barber point is pretty interesting because Kenyon Drake got paid $16 million this offseason, 2 years, $16 million. And in the two games that Josh Jacobs has missed, he has gotten a third of the touches that Peyton Barber has got. And not only the carries, by the way, 13 carries last week for Peyton Barber, 21 carries for Peyton Barber this week. Peyton Barber had more targets than Kenyon Drake in the passing game. So, you know, people can get excited. They can get enthused about the Las Vegas Raiders. I will not be one of those people. And how about those Cardinals? I mean, it's got to be one of the craziest stories in sports because we thought they were just done at the trade deadline. You know, they trade for John Lester and we're like, what are you doing? Like, what is even the point of these moves? But yeah, they are sitting at an 87-win team. They are in the driver's seat for the second wild card in the National League, six games ahead of the Phillies and way ahead of the Padres. How about the Padres? I mean, what? I know this is a football show today, but I mean, I just cannot get over the downfall of the Padres.
Yeah, final week of the season. It should be really compelling, especially in the American League for sure. So yesterday, you know, I think that Davis, you know, the main takeaways, and you're right from a fantasy perspective in the early games, there's no doubt there was not a lot of scoring. But, I mean, these night games, man, like the Sunday night game last night was just incredible. And to see Aaron Rodgers, who basically looked like a shell in the first game of the season, and he told everybody everything would be okay. I mean, I have to adjust my thinking a little bit on Green Bay. I mean, I was not overreacting after one game, But where was that in week one? Like, there was just no beating him last night in that game.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest bet of the week was on the Packers money line. I took them plus 3.5 points in my super contest facsimile. But, it wasn't really so much about the Packers. It was more about I just don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think every time that the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo play against a good quarterback, they're just going to get chewed up and spit out. And I think that's what we saw. That game really shouldn't have even been as close as it was.
Yeah, Garoppolo, really big fumble in that game. But, I mean, what is the answer? I mean, I don't know. Is the answer putting in Trey Lance? I mean, it is not working for every other rookie quarterback right now in the NFL. Maybe it's the coaching. I don't know. But it is. This has been the opposite of last season, where Joe Burrow came in and was good right away. And Tua, I mean, even though in fantasy he wasn't great, he was winning a lot of games right away. And Justin Herbert was playing great right away. It just has not happened for the quarterbacks. Maybe Trey Lance is the next one. We'll see. All right, our fantasy standouts from yesterday begins next. So we're going to go through every player, who did what in fantasy, what you should be doing to attack this upcoming week. We'll give you a head start coming up next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You don't see it often, a field goal that wins a game of 60 yards or more. And depending on the scoring system, by the way, in your fantasy league, like I play in a league where if you kick a 50, you get an extra point. And if you get a 60, you get two. So, I mean, I don't remember the last time that this factored in to one of the leagues that I was in, but I actually played against Tucker in a fantasy league last week, Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens, who kicked a 66-yard field goal to beat the Detroit Lions, who by the way, have played a lot better than I could have imagined at the start of the season. Definitely want to throw some love their way. I mean, if Cephas last week, if he catches the ball against Detroit or against Green Bay on Monday night, they cover the spread. They'd be 3-0. I mean, it's amazing. Anyway, back to fantasy. Lamar Jackson, 16 of 31, 287 passing yards, 58 rushing yards, one touchdown, one interception. Meager game for him. I was forced to play Sammy Watkins yesterday. I was left with nothing. And he caught a pass late, I think, to push this number up. 4 for 68. Mark Andrews was a real nice winner for you yesterday at tight end. 5 receptions, 109 yards. And then, as I mentioned, Tucker, who by the way, after Adam Vinatieri gets in the Hall of Fame, and then when Tucker decides to retire, I think those two may be the final kickers, by the way, to get in the Hall of Fame, unless I'm missing a kicker along the way, but I do think those two eventually get in. On the side of the Lions, let's run through this real quick. Jared Goff, 22 of 30, 217 passing yards, 4 rushing yards. DeAndre Swift, I thought, looked really good. I hope to see him get more playing time, but Jamal Williams is just the thorn in his side. Jamal Williams plays a lot. He also had 42 rushing yards and a touchdown. And then, look, the Lions just don't have any receivers, so Khalif Raymond was the guy yesterday, 6 for 68. So certainly everyone, Davis, is talking about the field goal today. But from a fantasy perspective, what was, you know, sort of your takeaways from these two teams?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really that sure that Jamal Williams is a thorn in the side of DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift has a 19.4% target share of the Detroit Lions offense. He has 11, 5, and 7 targets. He has 19 receptions through 3 games. That would put him pretty comfortably on pace to catch about 70 passes. That would, you know, I mean, that's going to lap guys like Joe Mixon, guys like Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he looks like a pretty clear steal where he was going in the third round of fantasy drafts. And then the other big note for this game, it had to have been the drops from Marquise Brown, right? I mean, he dropped about 30 fantasy points worth of points out there. You know, he had one, he was wide open for a touchdown. He had another, he was wide open for a touchdown. And then another one, he maybe would have been tackled. But had Marquise Brown even secured one of those, we're not even talking about Justin Tucker's name this morning. You know, it's just kind of one of those things.
All right, let's move over to the Bengals and Pittsburgh Steelers. Upset, Bengals win, and by the way, pretty easily. So I was very happy to see this one. I'm very sad that we can't fade the Steelers the rest of the way because the lines just will not be favorable. I think this was the nail in the coffin with that. Yesterday, Joe Burrow, 14 of 18, 172 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Joe Mixon, 90 rushing yards. Ja'Marr Chase scores for the third straight week, 4 for 65 and 2 scores. And then no T. Higgins, no problem. Tyler Boyd stepped up. Hey, scored a touchdown. If you played him, I mean, what do you want? You got your 13 fantasy points. Can't really argue with that. Now, on the side of the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger threw 58 passes in this game. They were playing from behind, and somehow his main target ended up being Najee Harris, who had 14 catches yesterday for 102 yards. Claypool, I saw Claypool on and off the field a little bit. I'm not sure if he got hurt at all. Hopefully he's okay. But 9 receptions, 96 yards. And look, a tight end scoring a touchdown in fantasy means an automatic pickup these days. And so Pat Freiermuth, I mean, who knows? As the season goes on, maybe he starts getting a little bit more. But 10 fantasy points from a tight end is just something, Davis, that you would take right now, I think, if you didn't have one of the first few guys.
Yeah, I mean, tight end, I did a tweet this morning, like basically tight end is about as bad as it's ever got. You know, Kyle Pitts has done absolutely nothing. He's the tight end 9. Austin Hooper, absolutely nothing. He is the tight end 10. Freiermuth does have, you know, a little bit of upside. So I think he is probably worth an ad. The issue is Ben Roethlisberger is just completely cooked. I mean, he looked like, you know, just a very fragile, broken guy. He threw some interceptions yesterday that were really terrible. Najee does have the 14 receptions, 19 targets, which is the most of any running back since Alvin Kamara back in 2019. He had a 20-target game. But how long is this going to be sustainable? I mean, how long is Big Ben even going to be able to be rolled out there? I would be very worried about that if I was someone who drafted Najee early, because when Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins takes over this offense, because Big Ben simply just like cannot move anymore, those guys are not going to check down near as often, right? They're going to be turning the ball over, but you're not going to have, you know, double digit target games for Najee Harris. So I'm worried about everyone in the Steelers offense. I'm worried about Deontay. I'm worried about Juju. I'm worried about Claypool. I'm also worried about the Bengals wide receivers, to be honest. Joe Burrow has 27, 30, and 18 passing attempts in 3 games this year. He threw more passes than that in every game last season. So in every game that Joe Burrow started last year, he had more than 30 passing attempts. So that marks a real shift in how the Bengals are calling plays. So I mean, the results for Chase and Higgins and Boyd have been fine so far, but if they do not convert to a more high volume offense, those guys are going to end up being big disappointments in the fantasy football playoffs.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I wouldn't have viewed it that way. I mean, I really was loved Higgins' start. I believe they play Thursday night, so I'm hoping that he gets back on the field for that game, or else more trouble for me. Okay, speaking of trouble, that's where the Bears will be. We'll get to them in a second. And Cleveland Browns, they just manhandled Chicago yesterday. I think there was like 9 sacks or something insane. I don't even know what the number was. Baker Mayfield, 19 of 31, 246 passing yards, 31 rushing yards and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt ended up being the star on the ground for Cleveland yesterday, 81 on the ground, 6 catches, 74 yards. He was tough to tackle as usual. And hey, not bad for Odell Beckham. 5 receptions, 77 yards. And as we mentioned, if you played the Browns defense yesterday, congratulations, them and Denver. Those were your 2 winners there yesterday. Denver, of course, pitching the shutout there. On the side of the Bears, look, Fields did not have a lot of time, but he has also not looked good at all. 6 for 20, 68 passing yards, 12 rushing yards. It is hard to have confidence right now in the Bears offense. Montgomery, 34 rushing yards, 2 receptions. Allen Robinson, no longer part of the scheme for some reason. And we put a kicker here for the fantasy standouts of the Chicago Bears. There's everyone in the world in Chicago, Davis, wants the head coach fired, and they probably should. But let's be honest, it's just, you know, poor play calling, not being aggressive. And I don't know how much that's hurting Fields or not. I'm not sure. But I mean, how can you play players on the Bears unless it's a really good matchup at this point?
Well, the hope would be that Matt Nagy watches a little bit of the film from this Justin Fields game and is just like, well, that didn't work. I mean, they only had four play calls where Justin Fields moved out of the pocket, right? So where the play call was to either move Justin Fields out to the left or out to the right. Anyone who watched more than about 7 seconds of Justin Fields in the preseason and in college would tell you, yeah, just having this guy drop back as you know, and having him pretend to be Peyton Manning, like, that's not going to work. That's just not real. And you know, you wouldn't ask Kyler Murray to do that. You wouldn't ask Lamar Jackson to do that. So why would Matt Nagy try to negate what Justin Fields, you know, like, God-given talents are? Which it just felt really, it just felt bizarre. And I have hopes that they're able to figure that stuff out. I don't know if they will, but that is what I am currently hoping.
And on the Cleveland side, any big takeaway there from you? I mean, they basically didn't have to do anything from the second quarter on in this game. So I mean, this is kind of what the Browns do, right, Davis? Like, they go up and then they just shut it down. They just start running and that's the end of the game.
Yeah, when the Browns are favored, they're just going to run at you with Hunt. They're going to run at you with Chubb. Whichever one of them ends up scoring or breaking off a long run is going to be the guy that you want to have for that week. And Odell looked fine. You know, Odell looked fine.
All right, coming up next, the Chargers go to Kansas City and make the Chiefs look mortal, which is kind of rare. Also, Buffalo got off to a tremendous start yesterday against Washington, so he cashed in some fantasy points there. We'll break down those games next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The Los Angeles Chargers, great as an underdog, terrible as a favorite. That played itself out yesterday in Kansas City as the Chargers go into KC and surprisingly, one of the bigger dogs of the day went outright. Justin Herbert yesterday made some really great throws, converted 26 of 38 for 281 passing yards and four touchdowns against the Chiefs. Austin Eckler is back catching passes again 2 weeks in a row, 6 for 52 in a score to go with 55 rushing yards. Keenan Allen also back on the map with a touchdown, 8 for 50 there. And then the fast emerging, dare I say, wide receiver one in fantasy. I don't know. Mike Williams has been fantastic. 7 receptions, 122 yards and 2 touchdowns. Probably all about health for him. Otherwise, he's going to be a monster. Kansas City. Now, in terms of the Chiefs, you know, the defense let them down, but Patrick Mahomes also threw 2 interceptions in this game to go with 3 touchdowns, so not his best day for sure. Clyde Edwards-Helaire must have been watching this show because he bounced back in a big way, 100 rushing yards, a touchdown, and also caught 2 balls out of the backfield. Tyreek Hill had one of the more quiet days you'll see from him, 5 for 56. Mecole Hardman scored a touchdown. Travis Kelce had 7 receptions for 104 yards. It was actually kind of a quiet day for him, only getting 17 fantasy points. But, you know, Davis, the Chargers with Mike Williams is going well with Justin Herbert. Like, this is a new thing that I think everybody has to pay attention to. And again, I was not in on Mike Williams at all, so I don't own him in any league. But my gosh, the pairing of him with Herbert right now looks fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, before the season started, head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, Brandon Staley, said that Mike Williams was going to be their version of Michael Thomas. He's being used all over the formation. His average depth of target has decreased. His targets per route run has increased. I do have Mike Williams on 2 of my 5 main event teams. I wish that I had him on all 5 right about now because he's been so phenomenal. I would also tell people if they're worried about the Chiefs, to settle down a little bit. So their turnovers in this game, the first one was a pass to Marcus Kemp. He was wide open, no defender within 10 yards of him, bounces off his hand. Asante Samuel Jr. picks it up off the ground. Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbles, and then Patrick Mahomes completes a pass to Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill fumbles the ball. Those all three of those turnovers took place in the first half. So that is, that was a minimum. If you say the Chiefs don't turn any of those drives into a touchdown, which we all know, very unlikely, the Chiefs get down to the 10-yard line and don't score any touchdowns. That, so that's at least 9 points that got turned into 0 points from turnovers. So I'm not worried about the Chiefs. Not worried about CH. CH fumbled in this game. They went right back to him. Not worried about Kelce. Not worried about Mahomes. Not worried about Tyreek. Though it was pointed out to me that Tyreek was kind of holding his shoulder after he fumbled that ball and that he played a lower number of snaps than he normally does. We saw more of Jody Fortson and Marcus Kemp in this game. So Tyreek might be dealing with, you know, like some small little injury right now. But in general, not particularly worried about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, fading them is making everybody a lot of money over the last like year and a half here. But fantasy-wise, I totally agree. I mean, look, these guys are going to be – and their defense is probably not great. They're going to be involved in a lot of high-scoring games, and all of the main guys will have monster years, no doubt about that. All right, so Buffalo got back on the map. If you played yesterday against Josh Allen, I am sorry you most likely lost because of the lack of scoring around the league. Allen threw for 358. And 5 touchdowns. I am sorry. You probably took an L. Zach Moss, again, the guy to own in the Buffalo backfield. 60 rushing yards, 3 receptions, and a touchdown. Cole Beasley gave you so many points yesterday. If you played him in PPR, 11 for 98. Emmanuel Sanders continues to be a thing with Josh Allen. This is sort of out of nowhere. Another good week for him. 5 for 94 and 2 scores. And Dawson Knox, look, everybody was getting involved, which was shocking against the Washington defense. Now, on their side, Tyler Heinicke, basically all garbage points, but hey, they count too. So in Superflex leagues, 3 touchdowns, 1 on the ground, 212 passing yards. Antonio Gibson, really not much. He had a really nice long receiving touchdown in this game, but they were, you know, the game plan sort of, you know, did not mesh with what he needs to be doing. Terry McLaurin almost had a touchdown, 4 for 62, but it just went out of his hands in the end zone. And Logan Thomas gave you some nice fantasy points from tight end. But I guess my biggest takeaway here, Davis, is that whatever happened to Buffalo against Pittsburgh in week one was just that. I don't know. It's kind of strange because Pittsburgh just does not look good at all since that game. They've lost 2 in a row to the Bengals and lost at home to the Raiders. And Buffalo, you know, I mean, they've scored the most points in the league the last 2 weeks. So I kind of feel like Buffalo is back on track.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen looked really good in this game. To me, the lesson was on the other side of the ball, which is that all the people that got excited about the Washington football team in the preseason, you know, which you and I talked about a ton, and I said, why are we betting on this team? Like, one, we know that defense is not sticky year over year, that teams can be great on defense 1 year, bad on defense in the next. It's just very random. And two, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, we can say like, oh, you know, the Washington football team, they're having this bad season because they don't have their franchise quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. But like, I don't know, would the result of this game been any different if Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback? I find that to be very unlikely. You know, I think that the Washington football team seems like a bad team, and they are going to be competing with the New York Giants for the cellar dwellers of the NFC East. Just looks like the Eagles and Cowboys are just a different quality of team, and the Bills are the AFC East. It's not the Dolphins, it's not the New England Patriots, it's certainly not the New York Jets, who we'll talk about what a bad team they are. But yeah, I mean, just the Bills are good. That's the long and short of it is the Bills are very good, and all four of their wide receivers are startable in fantasy, which is nice.
Yeah, definitely right now Sanders is someone, especially in DFS, to continue to plug and play. Okay, so the New Orleans Saints go into New England yesterday and just basically set their defense up and say, hey, Mac Jones, we're here, throw us the ball. And so essentially they didn't really need to do anything yesterday. On the Saints side, Jameis Winston also was just not good in this game. 13, he didn't need to be, but I mean, 13 of 21, they kept taking him out and putting Taysom Hill in, 128 passing yards. And one of his touchdowns was just one of the worst passes you'll see yesterday in the NFL. He threw it straight up in the air for anybody to catch. He was very lucky Callaway caught that in the back of the end zone. Taysom Hill played a lot, 32 rushing yards and a touchdown. Kamara finally did okay, 89 rushing yards, 3 receptions and a score. And then Callaway, as I said, with just some dumb luck standing in the back of the end zone, 4 for 41 and scored. Wish I would have played him to get that luck yesterday, made that mistake. On the side of the Patriots, this is not a recipe that they will win any games. Mac Jones, 51 attempts. That's not going to work. 270 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions from Mac Jones. It was brutal. Kendrick Bourne led the Patriots in receiving, so maybe we need to talk about him a little more. 9 for 96 in a touchdown. Jacoby Myers, 9 for 94. And then this whole two tight end New England thing isn't really going the way that I thought, I guess. It's just they're not really scoring that much. Hunter Henry, 5 for 36. So, I mean, Davis, I watched this game too. Like, the Saints just basically were on defense and they would get the ball. And then they're on defense and then they would get the ball again. And then obviously, once you lose James White in a game like that, and I think that it's a potential serious injury, that's the fantasy angle that we'll need to attack this week. Is it Bolden? Is it Stevenson? Is there another player to grab on New England's offense?
Well, it would be J.J. Taylor. J.J. Taylor would be the guy who is most likely to fill in that passing down role if Bill Belichick decides to trust him in pass protection. I mean, maybe it'll be Brandon Bolden. We just have seen, I mean, Brandon Bolden has been on the Patriots for a long time. Actually, funnily enough, he's one of those guys who left and came back. You see this happen with Patriots players, but he is 32 years old. He has been in the NFL since 2012. He played for the Patriots every season but one. He was in Miami for one season. He has 1,000 career rushing yards, but I do think he probably will see, you know, about 30% of the snaps for the Patriots next week if Bill decides not to trust J.J. Taylor. I mean, really, I think the only thing there is to learn is that the Patriots are just not very good. And anytime they are up against a team that has a good defense and can control the ball on offense, then they're just going to lose. And that is what happened here. 24 carries, 89 yards for Kamara. Decent game for Taysom Hill. Jameis did what he needed to do, you know, controlled the offense. I think, by the way, this is what we'll see with the Saints as well. The Saints are going to beat up on bad teams, and they're going to have some really bad games against good teams. You know, I actually kind of similar to what I expect from the Packers. Like, I think the Packers are really going to struggle when, like, you know, against the Buccaneers or the Rams. I would not be on the Packers, but against the Lions or the 49ers or something, like, give me the Packers. And I feel that kind of that same way about the New Orleans Saints, where that, like, Saints versus Falcons, the Saints are just going to crush the Falcons. They're going to steamroll them two times this year.
Yeah, I don't see it like that way. The way I see the Saints in terms of like the steamroll comment is that I think that when we used to have the Saints in fantasy for their defense, it was because they played in so many high scoring games. The other teams were just throwing so much that they would get pickoffs and interceptions for touchdowns. I think legitimately the Saints are probably a top five defense in the NFL. I mean, they two out of the are we 3 weeks in or four? 3 weeks? 4 weeks. Two out of the 4 weeks completely shut down, 3 weeks, completely shut down an offense. Like, they looked amazing against Green Bay. They looked amazing against New England. And they got these dudes that are just catching the ball and running it all the way back for a touchdown or close to it. So I think they're going to shut down a lot of those bad teams, as you mentioned. And I think you're going to get some points out of the Saints. That's one defense I may stream at some point this season for sure. And with New England, yeah, I mean, they're just, you know, it's 9-8, 8-9, pick your record at the end of the season. I think that's where you're going to find it. Okay, coming up next, the Tennessee Titans are getting healthy and appear to be getting better. Two wins in a row. Indianapolis seems to be going the other direction, so we'll talk about what the future holds for them. Also, a key injury yesterday, maybe the biggest one on the side of the Tennessee Titans. We'll talk about what A.J. Brown's absence may mean next. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. For those of you who are watching our 18 hours daily of live coverage out of the 24-hour day, congratulations. We need to send you a medal. For those of you who are only watching like 30 minutes or an hour, you're like everybody else. So what you want to do is follow us on social media on Twitter which is, of course, at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV, because we are posting news, notes, information, and picks all day long, fantasy, reality, everything else. Really fun way to engage with us and follow at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Follow us now. Download Twitter. It's absolutely free, just like us. Costs you nothing whatsoever. Okay, moving over to the next game on our slate to look at it from a fantasy perspective. It is Tennessee and Indianapolis. A game that kind of went back and forth a little bit. Some intrigue, I think, as the game went along. A key injury, too, which we're definitely going to get to here on the show. Ryan Tannehill yesterday running all over the place. 56 yards, 3 touchdowns. He made some mistakes, 2 interceptions. Derrick Henry has been, you know, the one guy that you took in the first 5 that you've been very happy with. He's got 113 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 31 yards. Here's the name that new for me, watched him play yesterday. I think he fumbled, if I'm not mistaken. Was it this guy or somebody else? 4 receptions, 53 yards, and a touchdown for Nick Westbrook Ikhine. New name for me here completely. Julio Jones, not sure what was going on with him yesterday. He was off the field a lot in this game, I thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the data won't back me up there. 3 receptions for 47 yards on the side of the Titans. So we will circle back to Tennessee and A.J. Brown. Now, in terms of Indianapolis, great organization, great coaching, great general manager, but it looks like the Wentz thing is not going to work. He did not look good yesterday, couldn't even move, 19 of 37 for 194 passing yards. Jonathan Taylor was on the field, it felt like, just as much as Nyheim Hines. I saw Hines playing so much yesterday, I don't know which way we're going to go here with this. 5 receptions for Hines, Taylor 64 rushing yards. And then poor Michael Pittman, 6 receptions, 68 yards. I think if you put a good quarterback on the Colts, this guy Pittman could be a star. So, Davis, let's go to Tennessee here. A.J. Brown, I know he left the game hurt. Who is this guy who led them in receiving? And this is a great offense and a terrible defense. So if Brown is out for any extended period of time, I want to pick up whoever it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to pick up Nick Westbrook Ikhine. He has been in the NFL for 2 seasons. He was on the team last year. He earned 8 targets last season. He has 7 targets this season. I think he will probably be a pretty low volume option. I think that it's more likely that they start to throw to the tight ends a little bit more. Anthony Firkser should be back from his injury next week. Sounds like AJ Brown is a hamstring injury. You never love to see hamstring injuries for wide receivers, but at least he was on the sideline for most of this game. You know, he wasn't, it wasn't like he needed to be removed immediately to be put on ice or whatever. So we'll hope to get AJ Brown back. You know, the other thing to remember is that this is also very similar to what we were talking about with the Bengals. This is going to be a pretty low-volume offense. I mean, Tannehill had 27 pass attempts in this game, and they were very evenly distributed. They had 3 guys all with 4 targets. Derrick Henry had 3 targets. Jeremy McNichols had 2. Chester Rogers had 2. Their backup tight end, Tommy Hudson, had 2. So just a very distributed offense, which would make sense because they use a lot of play action. And you know what? I am not so sure that the Colts are a great organization. I mean, it feels like they've really fumbled a lot of key personnel decisions for the last few years. I mean, you know, they chase Andrew Luck out of town by like never getting him a good offensive line. They replaced him with like, they've just gone 1 year stopgaps, right? Brissett, Rivers, and Wentz. Like it feels like they don't really have a cohesive plan. I did not like the Wentz trade when they made it. I thought they gave up too much. It looks like it's going to probably be a first-round pick if Wentz is able to play 75% of the Colts snaps. That second-round pick they gave up turns into a first-round pick. I would not have done that if I was them. You know, I would have been much more happy shipping the, 2/3 and a 4th for Sam Darnold. They probably could have gotten Jameis Winston. I mean, what's really the functional difference between Andy Dalton and Carson Wentz at this point? Like, to me, they feel very rudderless, and for that reason, I'm worried about Jonathan Taylor, because if he's going to be splitting time with Nyheim Hines, he's got to be efficient on the touches that he does get. And I don't know if a Carson Wentz running back is going to be efficient at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I look, in terms of the Colts, I mean, you ask 15 teams in the NFL, would you want the Colts record over the last decade? And they would take it in a heartbeat. So I look at it from just strict wins and losses. And yeah, a lot of it has been stopgap. And I suppose the comment on Luck is fair, although that did kind of catch them out of nowhere. I mean, they could not have anticipated he was going to retire. you know, maybe they should be going for a younger quarterback and the future. They've always, I mean, I've always felt like even since Luck, they've had a pretty good offensive line and they end up winning 9-10 games and getting in the playoffs. So this is just the year I think it's catching up with them. So I don't necessarily see it the same way. Talk to Jacksonville, talk to the Raiders.
Sure.
I mean, you could find 10 teams that would be like, oh my gosh, we could be the Colts for the next 10 years and win 9-10 and get a playoff game and get to a home playoff game. I think they would take it. But I think now it has caught up, and the Wentz move is indefensible. I mean, that it just does not look like a good trade, and they may have to sit him, by the way, to not hit that 75%. I didn't even think about that. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. Okay, Arizona Cardinals, boy, they didn't have to do anything yesterday. Jacksonville literally gave them this game. I mean, you cannot give away a game more than the Jaguars did. But we'll take it. In fantasy, Kyler Murray, very good again. Not his best game, 300 yards and one touchdown, which was a rushing touchdown. James Conner was very active near the goal line. That was interesting to see. 43 rushing yards and two touchdowns. He got the goal line carries. I believe Chase Edmonds did get one shot at it, 26 rushing yards. This does look like a split. A.J. Green, 5 receptions, 111 yards. Christian Kirk, 7 for 104. Also, I believe Rondell Moore got a goal line carry, if I'm not mistaken, in this one as well. So, look, what happened here in Jacksonville, you know, Arizona tried to kick a stupid field goal, and Jacksonville returned it all the way for a touchdown. They looked great in this game early. And then, oh my gosh, Trevor Lawrence, man, like, I mean, it's stunning to me how bad he is playing. Like, it's shocking. He was so good in college. I never saw him making these insane throws that he's making. I mean, who was coaching this guy? James Robinson, 88 rushing yards and a touchdown, 6 receptions, so he delivered pay dirt. Marvin Jones, 6 for 62. DJ Shark, 3 for 49 and a touchdown. I mean, the Jaguars are just instant fade material right now, Davis. It's like, I mean, I suppose maybe it is Urban Meyer and what's going on there, but they just look so bad, so out of sync. I love Trevor Lawrence. I think he's a superstar, but what are these passes he's rolling out, throwing it the other way, flea flickers, like just forcing things in. It's stunning to be watching this. Anybody who plays against Jacksonville is going to win.
Yeah, no, anyone who plays against Jacksonville is going to win. And they play at Cincinnati next week. Then they play home to Tennessee. Then they play home to Miami. Pretty easy to see them being 0-6. And look, we said Urban Meyer, he's a donkey. He wants to do all this dumb stuff. He takes a running back in the first round. He says, oh, you know, I wish that I would have got Kadarius Toney. He wants to give Carlos Hyde all these touches. Like everything that Urban Meyer says and does indicates that he doesn't understand the current environment of professional football. They have not designed a good offense for Trevor Lawrence to flourish in. I think very similar to what we saw with Justin Fields yesterday. If you have a young quarterback, I mean, you need to make as many easy decisions for them as possible. And instead, what they're doing is they're like, good luck, dude. Like, just do your 7-step drop back and hope that someone is open, because we're not making any easy throws for you. And by the way, like, there have been so many examples of this. How many easy throws does Baker Mayfield have every single game where, like, no, you know, that guys are just wide open? How many easy throws does Kyler have where guys are wide open? How many easy throws does Matt Stafford have in this Rams offense, right? It feels like every throw that Stafford makes, someone is just wide open. Cooper Kupp has 5 touchdowns this year, and no one's been within, like, 6 yards of him when he's caught these touchdowns. So it's not like it's impossible. The rules of the NFL suggest that Urban Meyer's job should be easy right now, and he's like playing with one arm behind his back. I did want to follow up on Chase Edmonds and James Conner. I know Conner got the 2 rushing touchdowns here, but Edmonds got a carry inside the 5-yard line for the first time in his career. This is year 3 in the NFL. It's his first time he's ever gotten a carry inside the 5-yard line. I think Conner looks slow. I think Conner looks bad. And it would not surprise me if we saw Edmonds get more and more touches as the season goes on, particularly in high leverage situations.
Yeah, my suggestion would be to fade Arizona. I am definitely not bought in on them after watching this game yesterday. And the coaching specifically, to me, I don't think it's good, especially in games against good teams, Seattle, the Rams, the 49ers. In those division games, I'm taking the other team. Okay, the one game that nobody watched yesterday, so we'll tell you what happened. The Atlanta Falcons went to the New York Giants, And how the Giants ever were a favorite in this game is beyond me. And this is the last time they'll be a favorite in any game this season, that's for sure. Matt Ryan, 27 of 36, 243 passing yards and two scores. Mike Davis is just getting beat out in fantasy by Cordarrelle Patterson. 50 rushing yards, 4 receptions, 20 yards. Patterson, I played against in one league. I was stunned to see how many points he had. Calvin Ridley, 8 for 61. And, hey, this guy Zacchaeus, who you talked about before the season, he definitely looks like the second wide receiver in Atlanta this year. He scored a touchdown. I think he's pretty good. I'd like to see him play more. Daniel Jones yesterday, 266, 39 rushing yards. Saquon Barkley put up his best game of the season, and if that's the best, boy, you are in trouble owning Barkley this season. I can tell you right now, Kenny Golladay, 4 for 64. Colin Johnson, 5 for 51. Should we spend more than 30 more seconds on this game, Davis? I don't know. Do you have anything to add?
I mean, I would just be worried. You know, if I drafted Calvin Ridley, I'm worried. If I drafted Kyle Pitts, I'm worried. If for some reason your brain got snatched by aliens and you felt the need to draft Mike Davis, I would trade Mike Davis for anything I could get right now. If you could trade Mike Davis to the guy who drafted Jerry Jeudy in your league and wait for Jeudy to come off the short-term IR, I'd do that. And I was actually encouraged by Saquon Barkley's workload. Only gave up 2 carries to another running back on the team, 6 targets in the passing game. I actually think Barkley's going to be fine.
That's the best matchup he's going to have all season. I mean, he's never going to have a better matchup than that. They're going to be getting crushed in every game. I don't know, man. All right, Rams-Buccaneers. Rams imposed their will. Matt Stafford, 4 touchdown passes, 343 yards. DeSean Jackson, everyone's running to pick him up this week. 3 catches, 120 yards and a score. Kupp was a monster. He's been awesome. Is he the best wide receiver in fantasy right now? Maybe. I don't know. 9 for 96 and 2 touchdowns. Tyler Higbee, very active yesterday, too. 5 receptions, 40 yards and a touchdown. Tom Brady threw 55 passes yesterday, 432 passing yards. He also scored once from the goal line. The other rush was given to Chris Godwin. Giovanni Bernard, way more active than Bruce Arians said he was going to be last week. That guy never tells the truth. 9 for 51. Mike Evans, 8 for 106. Rams are a great team, Davis. They, if they're not the Super Bowl favorite, they should be right around it. That's for sure.
Yeah, George Kurtz and I on your day off last week did a futures segment, and I said, you got to bet the Rams this week at 13-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook because they're going to beat the Buccaneers. Lo and behold, we wake up this morning. They are 8-1 now to win the Super Bowl on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Real quick, in defense of Bruce Arians, the only reason why Giovanni Bernard played so much in this game is he is their foxhole running back. So he plays the hurry up. He plays the 2-minute drill. They were basically in a 2-minute drill the entirety of the second half. So that's why we saw Gio play so much.
Pick up Jackson this week. Yes or no?
No.
No. Okay. Coming up next, the Denver Broncos and New York Jets. We saved 2 minutes and 50 seconds to discuss this game. We do not need any longer. We'll be back on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
Sports gaming strategy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game that was never in doubt from start to finish. Denver Broncos against the New York Jets as the Broncos just destroyed the Jets at home. It was not worth more than 3 minutes. So let's do this and be done with it. Teddy Bridgewater, 19 of 25, 235 passing yards, 24 rushing yards. Melvin Gordon still firmly entrenched in Denver's offense. 61 rushing yards, 1 reception, and a touchdown. Javonte Williams did get 29 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 33 yards. He had a big fumble at the end of the game on the goal line. I'm not sure what that will mean. We'll see. Tim Patrick, 5 for 98 for him. He's been really good. On the side of the Jets, you're just not playing anyone in fantasy, so let's run through it. Zach Wilson, no good, 2 interceptions. Michael Carter, no good, 24 yards. I suppose if you played Corey Davis in some crazy 15-team league, you got 9 fantasy points. Elijah Moore has been a non-factor. Mims was a bust of a pick. Denver's 3-0, Davis. They're off to a really good start. They've had the easiest schedule I've ever seen in the NFL. I'm going to go against them now moving forward. In terms of the Jets, I think you could just fade them immediately.
I would not start any Jets player in any fantasy league right now. And the backfield even got a little bit less complicated because Tevin Coleman didn't play yesterday for the Jets. And it just didn't matter, obviously, because if you don't score any points, well, your offense is not going to be that good. You're right, though. Melvin Gordon firmly entrenched, 18 carries to Javonte Williams' 12. They both score a touchdown. Javonte was targeted 4 times in the passing game. Little bit of a disappointing game for Cortland Sutton after that huge explosion last week. He and Tim Patrick both got 5 targets. KJ Hamler did get injured in this game. That's a bummer. I think he's very good, but that will be a short-term boost for Albert Okwuegbunam, who I actually think should be picked up in 12-team leagues.
Yeah, Williams is far more talented than Gordon, but it looked like there was some conversation on the sideline after he fumbled on the one at the end of that game. We'll see what that means for him. Curious moving forward. Okay, that'll do it for hour one. We got our headlines coming up at the top of the hour with Chris. We have our fantasy headlines as well. So stay with us. Plenty more games to run through here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll tell you who did what and what you should be doing this coming week.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more. Every day.